Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner on WAMC with Senator Chris Murphy, a Connecticut Democrat. He's been in office since 2013. And Senator, you met the other day with the Ukrainian leader, Zelensky, who has been in the U.S. During the U.N. Annual meetings. What can you tell us about that conversation?
I was at the U.N. for the U.N. General Assembly. I spent a day meeting with a variety of leaders, folks that I've gotten to know over the years, primarily in and around the Middle East. But I did get the chance to meet with President Zelensky, who, you know, I've had the honor of knowing since he was first sworn in. Obviously, you know, this was a really difficult last year for Ukraine because when Donald Trump and Republicans held up aid to Ukraine, that put them on their back heels. Russia was able to make some advances. But since we have been able to start flowing weapons and ammunition again to the Ukrainian army, they have been able to stop the Russian advance. And as the world has seen, make some pretty stunning progress, actually holding territory inside Russia for the first time in this war. You know, we don't need to do another emergency aid bill for Ukraine, but he's going to be here in Washington this week to, you know, give the president and give the Congress an update on the status of the war, say thank you for the aid that he's gotten, and, you know, be in consultations about how we use the next year to put Ukraine in a position where Russia is forced to come to the negotiating table to end this conflict.
You know, I think a lot of people were taken aback in the presidential debate when former President Trump wouldn't say if it's important that, you know, Ukraine win this conflict, you know, and he didn't seem to make that a priority. So what is at stake for the U.S. here, especially given the result of November's election?
Well, I think that's unnecessarily kind to President Trump.
Fair enough.
Yeah, what he was telling you, right, he was asked twice, do you want Ukraine to win the war? I mean, that's a layup question. He both times refused to say he wants Ukraine to win the war. And it does not take a rocket scientist to understand why he wants Russia to win the war. In fact, he went further. He said that he would end the war before he was even sworn in. Now, the only way you end the war before January of next year is to give Ukraine to Russia. So Donald Trump, right, was the leader of the opposition to fund Ukraine. He told you in the debate he does not want Ukraine to win the war, and he promised to end the war before he's even sworn in. This is easy. Donald Trump is going to give Ukraine to Russia. That is potentially going to lead to World War III, because Russia will not likely stop at Ukraine. They will likely continue on into a NATO country where the United States will come directly to blows with Russia, and it would be an absolute disaster for the world. So the stakes are really clear on Ukraine. Kamala Harris is going to continue to support Ukraine. I believe if Kamala wins and Democrats control the House and the Senate, Putin will see that he's got four more years of going up against Ukraine and the United States, and he'd be better off sitting down at the negotiating table. If Donald Trump wins, the war's over, because Donald Trump will hand over the keys to Kyiv to Vladimir Putin.
You don't think that there are any sort of institutional Republicans or people within our defense sphere who would want to stop Trump, a reelected Trump, from doing that?
Nope. You know, this is sort of a fantasy that some people have, in part, you know, informed by how the first 4 years went. Yes, it's true. There were some institutional Republicans around Donald Trump in his first term, whether it be General Kelly or General Mattis, you know, even his first chief of staff, Rince Priebus. In Trump's second term, none of those people will be there. They have all, you know, sworn him off. Most of them are opposing him and his reelection because they saw how reckless and dangerous he was in his first term. In his second term, he will have sycophants and MAGA loyalists working for him, people who are, you know, even more rabid isolationists, even more pro-Russia than he is. So I think his second term from a foreign policy perspective will be pretty dystopian, because it's very likely there will be people who have been on Russia's payroll working for the White House or at the State Department.
How confident are you that whatever the result is on November 5th will be abided by?
Oh, I have zero confidence that the result will be abided by if Kamala Harris wins. I mean, Donald Trump has basically made it clear that if he loses, he is going to claim it was illegal and fraudulent. And if passed as predicate, he will likely turn his supporters against the United States in violent insurrection. So this is a really dangerous moment. I think Kamala Harris is going to win, and I think we will be right back into a moment of crisis. And the question is, will all these Republicans that supported Donald Trump after the insurrection in 2021 support him again? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that if Kamala Harris wins, it's pretty predictable that Donald Trump will once again try to rally his supporters in violence against the United States government. So I hate to say that. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe that that's the reality, but I'm just not so naive to close my ears and box my eyes to what he's telling us. And he's telling us he's not going to respect the election if he loses.
Okay, let me go to another hot spot before we run out of time today. Israel has been fighting Hamas for a year now. And obviously, there has been some escalation in recent days in Lebanon. So, I mean, you're more plugged in, obviously, than we are. What is your read on the multi-fronts there now?
It's a really dangerous moment. I met with the Lebanese foreign minister in New York just a few days ago. You've seen, you know, Israeli bombardment of Beirut, the capital. Obviously, Hezbollah is fighting back. Israel, you know, has a right to defend itself. And right now, Israelis cannot live in the towns along the Lebanese border because of rocket fire from Hezbollah. Nothing excuses Hezbollah from using terrorist tactics to target civilians in northern Israel. The question is whether it is in Israel's interest for there to be a full-blown war between Israel and Lebanon. I do not believe it is. It's certainly not in the U.S. interests. So, you know, the United States is hard at work right now trying to get, you know, both parties on a path towards de-escalation. But the biggest priority has to be a ceasefire in Gaza. If we have a ceasefire in Gaza, then that provides an easy path towards de-escalation, maybe not an easy path. It provides a path towards de-escalation with Hezbollah. It provides a path towards de-escalation in the West Bank. It provides a path towards de-escalation in Yemen with the Houthis. And right now, we don't have a ceasefire because Hamas doesn't want it and Israel doesn't want it. Israel doesn't want a ceasefire because Benjamin Netanyahu believes his coalition, his political coalition, might fracture if he signs a ceasefire and he might lose power. So Benjamin Netanyahu is unfortunately putting his own political power in front of the interests of his country. And until that changes, and until Hamas decides that it's in the best interests of the people of Gaza to have a ceasefire, then I think we're going to have these risks on escalation all around the region.
Well, that doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon.
It does not. It does not feel like there's going to be a ceasefire before the election. And so the United States will be hard at work trying to make sure that this increased pace of conflict between Israel and Hezbollah does not turn into a full-fledged war. I don't know that we're going to be able to turn that conflict off until there is a ceasefire, but we certainly want to make sure that there isn't a conventional war, for instance, an invasion of Israeli ground forces into southern Lebanon. That would not be good for Israel's long-term security. It's certainly not good for the U.S.'s security.
We're very grateful for your time, Senator Chris Murphy, a Connecticut Democrat in office since 2013. And when we come back next time, let's talk about some domestic issues.
Great.